Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another show. That's right, we're here yet again another Sunday to inform and entertain you as per normal. Note right at the top here, apologies for no show last week. I had some commitments on last minute that hosed the show, which is quite unfortunate. But yeah, we're back again this week and bigger than, well, we're still the same size, but we're cramming more into the show this week. Right off the bat, our prayers with those people of Florida. In just a couple of minutes here, we'll start analyzing what has happened with this massive hurricane at Hurricane Matthew, it's called, in Florida. But want to get to a housekeeping note here at the top of the show. Yes, next week we are doing our big announcement bonanza. Our announcement and bonanza is what's going to happen to the end of 2016 and a little bit into 2017. Ooh, that's right. So that's happening. That's coming up here in this week. But I want to mention we've had a permanent home. It is not a temporary home, a permanent home. Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time in the U.S. at geek-io.net/live. You can see me. Hello, if you're watching on geek.io, or you can watch it later on the YouTube archive. It'll be in the recent shows archive, recent live shows archive as well. We're permanently here 7 till 9 over there Eastern time. So when daylight savings changes, it's not going to change a time slot. We are going to be moving with it. We're going to be moving an hour later in November, but after Extra Life happens, after the first weekend in November, we're going to be moving time slots. We're going to be moving back an hour, so we're going to be moving till 10 till midnight. Our old time slot is coming back, so that's exciting stuff. But a permanent home, we're a Sunday show like all the rest of them, so it's good to be here. So 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 Central is what the time slot is for 2 hours. We're here for 2 hours of your Sunday, but it's good to have that permanent fixture. Now, to the news of the week, because you really don't want to hear me blabbering on about myself for too long. You want to get me to get to the news of the week, which is why you tune in here every single Sunday. Now, Hurricane Matthew has been causing havoc on the east coast of Florida, and it is not over yet. Hurricane Matthew was leaving the coast behind a record-breaking flooding Saturday at the center of the storm, moving out into the Atlantic Ocean, dragging bands of heavy rain with it across eastern North Carolina. The Category 1 hurricane was dropping 8 to 20 inches of rain in the Tar Heel State and wet southeast Virginia. Excuse me. Quote, this rainfall is leading to record-breaking flooding over portions of eastern North Carolina, and it may result in life-threatening and flash flooding elsewhere in the region. Authorities say that 10 people have passed away, and Matthew is expected to weaken in the next 24 hours. That is CNN's reporting. According to ABC News, Matthew was no longer a hurricane, according to ABC, at 5 a.m. Eastern time, so a little over 2 hours ago, 2 hours and 4 minutes ago, it was downgraded to a tropical storm as it made an eastward turn and began to move into the Atlantic at 14 miles an hour. Why is that calendar there? I do not want that calendar there. Go away. The newly minted post-tropical storm Matthew has maximum sustained winds of up to 75 miles an hour. Despite the downgrade, ABC News meteorologist Daniel Menzo cautions, quote, record-breaking flooding will continue in the eastern North Carolina this morning and will come to end later on Sunday. The Outer Banks and Mid-Atlantic will continue to see very gusty winds and heavy rains this morning. The advisory from the NHC Atlantic Ops, we're just getting that in now, the latest advisory, advisory number 45, I believe this is, bringing that, we're going to bring that here to you. We're getting that up. I had some difficulties loading it. Around the same time, the National Hurricane Center announced that Matthew has been downgraded. The North Carolina Office for Emergency Management confirmed a fifth death in the Pitt County overnight due to the weather. This is the NRC advisory for post-tropical storm Matthew. What's it say? It doesn't have a summary.
Detailed definition of the
core represents that entire file. That is not what I want. What I want is that one. Okay. So at 5 a.m. Sunday, it was just off the coast of North Carolina. It is moving outward. Moving outward off the coast. I expect to be fairly off the coast by 2 a.m. Tuesday morning. It is expected, however, to turn around and hit Florida again after that point, but the tracking map is only showing it heading out towards the sea and actually remaining to be a tropical depression at that point. 5 day track on. It has no 5 day track. That's all it's tracking at the moment. That is from the National Hurricane Center. Let's hear words now from some reports on the ground. This one's coming from ABC first, and then we've got the CNN report to back it up.
Hurricane Matthew still menacing the southern coast with life-threatening storm surges. ABC's Eva Pilgrim is reporting from inside the storm zone.
Hurricane Matthew continuing to wreak havoc, pummeling the Florida coastline.
You can see just how bad it has gotten here.
The powerful Category 2 hurricane showing its force, torrential downpours and powerful winds of up to 110 miles per hour. In Haiti, the death toll soaring, the storm leaving close to 300 dead. Here in St. Augustine, Florida, devastating flooding.
More than a million people without power here in Florida. We are part of that group. We're staying at a hotel. No power here. You can see they used glow sticks to light the way to the hallway.
The storm's dangerous center as it moves north. States of emergency declared in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. Matthew tearing through Melbourne and Vero Beach, too. In his aftermath, water taking over the town, swallowing park benches, whole streets, tearing up roofs and tearing down trees. More than 3 million people fleeing their homes from Florida up to the North Carolina coast as Matthew now sets his sights on Georgia.
And now to CNN.
The 8 o'clock advisory now for Hurricane Matthew, down to a Category 1 hurricane at 85 miles per hour, very close to Charleston, South Carolina, just off the coast of Philly Beach at this hour. There still will be gusts, though, likely over 100 miles per hour. The storm is turning to the right, glancing off the Isle of Palms, eventually toward Myrtle Beach, and then all the way toward Wilmington, and then into the Atlantic Ocean for maybe a big loop. We'll have to see. At this point in time, the loop may not be anything of interest. By the time it gets back down to the south, the storm may be completely torn up. Significant storm surge overnight in the Savannah area, in the Tybee Island area, and also into Charleston. Charleston, you still have about 4 or 5 hours before high tide. Charleston's low tide this morning was higher than the high tide should have been. So now that we push the water back in with high tide, Charleston will be flooding all morning into the afternoon. It could be a very ugly morning and ugly afternoon for Charleston and those surrounding areas. Now we'll take a look at what's going on here The rain moving up the coast, rain all the way to D.C., rain all the way into Virginia, as far south as Georgia. As we zoom in, we'll see that heavy rainfall with some very heavy bands around Folly Beach, moving up to about Sullivan's Island and then into the Isle of Palms area and even Wild Dunes, picking up very heavy wind and very heavy rainfall. The problem with this storm, I think, is still going to be the storm surge. Storm surge is the water that is pushed by the hurricane. Now, typically on a Category 1, where we are now, we'd have maybe 2 to 3, maybe as much as 4 to 5 feet of storm surge. But because this storm was a Category 3, and for a while a Category 4, for so long, this will likely have more surge than a typical Category 1 hurricane. It may, pushing up some of these estuaries in the low country, get all the way to Category 3 type surge. So if you're still in the way, if you're bunkered down, hunkered down, try to stay out of the way of this. This water will be forceful and the wind's still coming in. We could see high tides, especially around 1, 2, 3 o'clock, depending on where you are along the coast, 5 to 7 feet above where you should be, maybe as much as 9 feet above normal high tide. That could be deadly.
And it has proved to be deadly. It's unfortunate that it has been proved to be deadly, but that's it. What it has been. Of course, some of that information is a little bit off, considering, well,
heading to college this week.
Let's not do that because of what it's because of time. The hurricane does not stop for this show to start to have up to date information. We're doing all the best we can as the East Coast wakes up here on a Sunday to find that the destruction that it has found up in that coast. Now, we'd be remiss to kind of not mention this other storm at this point. Storm Nicole, which is currently a storm, but it's heading up towards the path of where Matthew will be, but it's moving at a very slower pace and will potentially be a hurricane on 2 a.m. on Friday. It's looking like it actually might miss Matthew by the tracking poles. Thankfully, it's going to be missing it by the looks of things. Thank God, only because it's moving so slow currently. It's predicted to be up in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean by 2 a.m. Friday, but it's moving away from the coast at this point. Important to emphasize that it is moving away from the coast. It's currently between 39 and 73 miles per hour. That is Tropical Storm Nicole. Not posing any threat to the current coast, but still the fear is that Matthew might collide with Nicole and power up again and hit Florida for a second time. That, of course, is the fear that anyone would have if they're talking about any tropical storm. Of course, need to be wary of that. We've been remiss if we don't recap a little bit. Matthew has left 2.2 million households and businesses without power across the southeast region at 1 a.m. on Sunday.
Eastern time, North Carolina officials
says that there were 670,000 power outages across the state. In South Carolina, there were 768 power outages. Georgia's were expecting 205,000 power outages. And Florida still had 561,000 power outages as early as Sunday morning. People encouraged to, of course, evacuate, but they I know what it's like to wake up to devastation, having lived through tropical storms here locally. It's It's crazy to wake up one morning and it's just you have to hunker down in times like this. It's moving away from the coast at the moment, thankfully, but there's the chance that it may still swing around and hit for a second time. That's rough. But people waking up today, our present thoughts are with them. And of course, we're going to keep you guys updated. We're doing this again, second hour, you know, giving you all of the information that you need to take on the week. The stuff I have was updated at 5:25 a.m. Eastern Time from ABC, and at 3:20, well, that's GMT on the CNN side. I want to see if there's anything fresher than that. Probably not, but still want to see, what is this update? It has officially made landfall. Okay. And it officially did make landfall at 11 a.m. on Saturday in McLeanville, South Carolina, at a Category 1 status. The state of emergency was called as far north as North Dakota. North Carolina, excuse me. And the Haiti death toll from this storm, as it continues to surge down there, even, is at 800. It's ballistic. 10 people have died, according to CNN. 3,544 flights were cancelled, according to FlightAware.com. 2.2 million power outages. Man killed in Savannah. Major bridge in Charleston's closed. People working on power outages. It's devastating what this story has. Now, before we round out this segment, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that it could swing back around again to hit for a second time. I want to know where that story is. Here's that story. What is this audio? Okay, that's just music. The news report, I want it. Yeah, people are were predicting yesterday that it's going to potentially turn around. It's too early to tell on that one. People were telling that it most have it going all the way around. Some have it still going all the way through. This is a while ago, so some broadcasters predict that it'll go back towards Florida. And there's not much else to say on that one. So we want to open up the broadcast and we want to, you know, update the people of Florida as they wake up this morning on what, well, not only Florida, but the other states affected as well, on what is happening with Tropical Hurricane Matthew, as they're waking up and moving here on a Sunday. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, I feel bad for opening the show with such a downer. This episode is such a downer, by the way. There's really not much redeeming factors for this episode. We're talking about presidential debates coming up in the next week at half past the hour. But before that, there's hope for young people after all. We'll tell you more about it as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:20. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. It's good to be here on a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Of course, we'll keep you all updated on the goings-on with Hurricane Matthew. That seems to be the big story of the day is the fallout from Hurricane Matthew. We'll update you that. Plus also, we're revisiting the US election. What could be worse? You know what? You know what? I'm not going to comment on that. But you know what I'm going to comment on is the young people. Yay, young people. Go, young people. Young adults more likely than their elders to prefer reading the news. Younger Americans are more likely than older to prefer reading the news, while older adapt to watching the news. According to Pew Research Center, when it comes to technology infrastructure on America's young adults, again, American study, reading is not dead, at least not for the news. When they're asked whether one prefers to read, watch, or listen to the news, to their news, younger adults are far more likely than older ones to opt for text, and most of that reading takes place on the web. Overall, more Americans prefer to watch their news, 46%, than read it, 35%, or to listen to it, 17%, a Pew Research Center study found earlier this year. But that varies on age dramatically. Those aged 50 years and up are far likely to prefer watching the news over any other method. 52% of 50 to 64-year-olds and 58% of those 65 or older would rather watch the news, while rather 3 and 10, 29 and 27 respectively, prefer to read it. Among those 50 and under, on the other hand, roughly equal portions, 1 in 4, roughly 18 to 19, and ages 30 to 29, opt to read the news rather than watch it. Most of that reading among younger adults is through digital text rather than print. About 81% to 18 to 29-year-olds prefer to read the news, to get their news online, rather. Just 10% took print newspaper. The breakdown is similar among 30 to 49-year-olds. Newsreaders who were aged 50 to 64, on the other hand, were more likely to be evenly split, with a preference for web, 51, and print, 40. Whereas people older, more like along the lines of 65 or older, prefer print media as opposed to online. Now, here's an interesting one. This last one's rather interesting. Both from a news presenter's perspective and a news presenter and a consumer of news, it's interesting on both fronts. Transition to the computer rather than television. 57% of 18 to 29-year-olds prefer to get their news via the television. 37 cite web as their platform of choice. It's interesting. So yeah, 10% for TV for 18 to 29, radio 49, and online 30. From 30 to 49, 20% television, 61 is radio, 15 is online, where 50 to 64 is 34% on the TV, 56 on the radio, 48 and 43 respectively, and 2 respectively for the 65 plus year old. It's interesting to see that, because you always hear about diminishing returns on radio, diminishing returns, you know, no one's listening to the radio anymore. Well, I don't know. These don't say the raw numbers of listeners on the radio, so you could have something here on your hands for a case of that's nature. But the radio is still prominent. The radio is still everywhere. You know, you still have a lot of people tuning in to lots of things on the radio, lots of live events on the radio, you know. Podcasts. I suppose some radio shows are turned into podcasts, and I suppose, would you consider that online, or would you consider that radio? You've got to think, podcasting as a medium has not been around that long, and you've got to think, how many people choose to have listen to podcasts, for example, as their choice of medium, and, you know, pure radio or online radio. Is that online or is that television, like video news shows? It's interesting, the incestuous relationship between all of these various traditional, quote unquote traditional, mechanisms of obtaining the news, and rather that and, you know, the online methods, the new methods, but kind of the fusion of the two, I find, is where the most interesting research can be taking place. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's the moment I have not been looking forward to all week. You know, it's time we check back in. You know, with about a month to go on this US presidential election, it's about time we took a moment or two on this show to check back in to see what noises both the presidential candidates and their VP picks are saying. It. Please, dear God, don't tell me I've got this twice in the run sheet. I don't, thank goodness. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, I really don't want to do this next segment. Why do I do this to myself? You might see me walk out for the first time. It's 9:30. Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or on the Chef Wonder and Geek.io podcast networks. Just search the Generic Live Show and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So glad to be with us. So good to be here. Except for right now. Actually, no, I lie. I feel bad for even joking about that, because, you know, I do this show merely to inform and enlighten, but also to have fun, because, you know, you gotta have fun. I'm gonna have fun here on a Generic Live Show, because, you know, what's a show without a bit of fun? You know what's fun, though? Fun is thinking about the end of the world, where either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump gets elected to become the president of the United States of America. Yikes. Actually, you know what? It's been a while since we've checked in on these two. I've been I've been, you know, 29 days, 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 47 seconds. That's right. Until America votes. Oh, yes. It's... No. I don't know why I'm doing that. But, you know, it's... 270 to win. Actually, 270towin.com is a good website to get all of your polling information too, by the way, as well as re-clear politics. 270win has the countdown, 29 days, 2 hours, 24 minutes, until America votes. And a alert listener has brought it to my attention that I haven't talked about the US election in a long time. So there's a second presidential debate on this week, and it's, do we really have to kind of really think about what Trump needs to do to quote unquote win this next election, because that seems to be the focus. All the headlines are saying what Trump needs to do to win the next presidential debate. You know, the way he needs to win the next presidential debate is to, debate. That would be a great start. But with now 29 days to go, Donald Trump is ceding a critical territory to Hillary Clinton. But 2 weeks ago, the precise opposite was afoot. The lesson, anything can happen. The wind is at Hillary Clinton's back. And she's not only in nationwide polling, but in the key battleground and vote-rich states that ultimately deliver the presidency to the victor on November 8th. On Monday, Australia time, the pair will face in a second of the three critical debates. The first, a practiced Clinton performance, going also to a link which I don't know what to click on, was the very catalyst that bled support from Donald Trump. This makes the second Clinton to lose. Ah, okay. I see what this article is trying to do. By the way, this is a editorial. Because these are fun to pick apart. Because... The way that she's going is that she can't have two good debate performances in a row. Trump has to at least get one. That's the thinking of this article. The thinking of this article is Trump can't do bad twice. Well, first of all, I disagree. Second of all, because, well, I'm an alert listener, and if you go, hang on, let me... I actually... You know what? We're playing this audio because this audio is ridiculous. because the reason why I say that is because he actually said, where is it? I'm trying to find the video where he said something. Nope, it's not that. Someone shared it and now has deleted it because, well, that's a thing, apparently. People delete stuff on Facebook? Really? Never. Anyway. He said something and about women, about how he likes women and how he wants to grope them and it's okay by his wife to do so because, well, that's a thing. And apparently Trump has this massive trick up his sleeve. I'm very optimistic about this second debate, aren't I? I just realized how I sounded. I mean, it's going into review mode, but hey, it's what I do. The second debate needs to have more punch to it from Trump because he didn't really deliver much punch last time. Let's listen to some audio because I'm tired of talking. Here's Trump talking about Clinton's pass. Because this is what he's basing his second debate off, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Our country isn't working. So many things are going wrong. Last night, when I debated Secretary Clinton, on America's future. For 90 minutes, I watched her very carefully. And I was also holding back. I didn't want to do anything to embarrass her. But I watched her, and she was stuck in the past. For 90 minutes, on issue after issue, Hillary Clinton defended the terrible status quo, while I laid out our plan, all of us together, to bring jobs, security, and prosperity back to the American people. For 90 minutes, she argued against change, while I called for dramatic change. We have to have dramatic change. We have to get rid of Obamacare. We have to strengthen up our depleted military. It's in such bad shape. We're going to do a lot of great things, folks. November 8th, you have to get out there and vote. You know, you've seen all the polls. Drudge is, first of all, he's a fantastic guy. But Drudge, it was 80% to 20%, Trump. 80% to 20%.
Okay. What? I know that clip is a minute and 28 seconds long, but there is so much to unpack there. I mean, really, there is so much there. We could talk for days about that clip alone. But we won't, because I've actually got a fair bit to play out in this clip, in this segment. Even a recap of the first debate and the vice presidential debate. But I will say this. He barely planned anything out in that debate. He spent the whole time up until 30 minutes. I'll give him credit. Up to 30 minutes, he was defending himself. He was laying out a plan. And then tax returns. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Which leads us nicely to our recap of the first debate. I've just jumped the video. Here is the debate in 3 minutes. Actually, you know what? This is pretty good. Let's do this. Let's do the debate in 3 minutes. Because this will sum things up quite nicely instead of me reading all of this terrible things. If it wants to work, I don't think it'll work, but that's okay. There was lots of winners and losers from the debate, apparently. So we'll get to those.
Now, in all fairness to Secretary Clinton, yes. Is that okay? Good. I want you to be very happy. It's very important to me.
And the kind of plan that Donald has put forth would be trickle-down economics all over again. In fact, it would be the most extreme version, the biggest tax cuts for the top percent of the people in this country than we've ever had. I call it trumped up trickle-down.
We have to stop our jobs from being stolen from us. Well, you haven't done it in 30 years or 26 years.
Well,
I've been a senator, Donald, and I have been a secretary of state,
and I have
Your husband signed NAFTA, which was one of the worst things that ever happened.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? This is something that the American people deserve to see, and I have no reason to believe that he's ever going to release his tax returns, because there's something he's hiding.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes when she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted.
I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a mistake, and I take responsibility for that.
Our inner cities, African Americans, Hispanics, are living in hell because it's so dangerous. You walk down the street, you get shot. You have to have stop and frisk.
Who disagrees with keeping neighborhoods safe? But let's also add, no one should disagree about respecting the rights of young men who live in those neighborhoods. So he tried to put the whole racist birther lie to bed. But it can't be dismissed that easily.
I got to watch, in preparing for this, some of your debates against Barack Obama. You treated him with terrible disrespect. And I watch the way you talk now about how lovely everything is and how wonderful you are. It doesn't work that way.
Well, I think cybersecurity, cyber warfare, will be one of the biggest challenges facing the next president.
As far as the cyber, I agree to parts of what Secretary Clinton said. I don't think anybody knows it was Russia that broke into the DNC. She's saying Russia, 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 but I don't, maybe it was. I mean, it could be Russia, but it could also be China. Could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Woo! Okay. He said, you know, if they taunted our sailors, I'd blow them out of the water and start another war. That would not start a good judgment. That is not the right temperament to be commander-in-chief.
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
So I sure hope you will get out and vote as though your future depended on it, because I think it does.
That is that first debate in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. But we can't not leave this segment. With the release of the 2005 video. Ah, that one. Okay. We can't leave this segment without shining a light on the terrible job that Lester Holt, the moderator, did on the first debate. Here he is.
A good way to describe Holt's approach for the night. You know, he really picked his spots, is what it came down to. You know, he was going to be invisible as much as he could.
I've been a senator, Donald, and I have been a secretary of state.
But he also didn't want to just become a total doormat. There were times when he felt like, I need to follow up for more clarity on a point, or I need to ask a difficult question.
You're perfectly free to release your taxes during an audit. And so the question, does the public's right to know outweigh your personal...
Well, I told you, I will release them as soon as the audit. Look.
And then one time, when there's this factual dispute about the invasion of Iraq, that's when I need to really push back and come with a fact check.
You had supported the war in Iraq before the invasion. What makes your judgment?
I did not support the war in Iraq.
2002.
That is a mainstream media nonsense.
And then Holt comes back, well, the record shows otherwise, and we go back and forth on that.
The question is, since you
like to hear?
Why is your judgment?
I was against the war. Wait a minute. I was against the war in Iraq, just so you put it out.
The record shows
otherwise. The record does not show that I'm right.
He was never going to get a concession from Trump on that point. Trump's just not going to concede that he was in favor of the war.
And this is where I disagree with that guy entirely, this random person, news person, because my point is that it was just awful. I'm sorry, a moderator... to a debate kind of sees both sides. You see both perspectives and you have a conversation. I mean, this next debate tomorrow night, which is going to be... Oh, I have to cover that, don't I? Oh, no. For next week's show, ironically enough. I think that my main problem with that first debate, it was just so... and just so... off, and it's just, I don't know anymore, but I think the point I was going to make there, but he was only picking on Trump. Watch that whole debate, watch the whole 90 minutes, which I had the lovely joys of doing, and you'll see that he only picked on Trump the entire time. No follow-ups to Hillary. I'm sorry, but yeah... I mean, I get it. Your political leanings may shine through a little bit. Hey, mine do. Sometimes I'll fully admit that. But, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that when you're supposed to be this moderating human that moderates things. A moderating human that moderates things. Yeah, English. Dale, good. You know what I mean? Like, and people were praising him. Oh, he was... asking the tough questions. Yeah, we already knew what the questions were before walking into this debate, so there was no surprises there, but I don't know. It's tough to say, and I know people get caught up in that moment, but it is what it is. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for Sunday, well, there was a vice presidential debate. Anyone cares, we'll recap it, I guess. Plus also political fallout from the Groundhound Racing. We're running a little bit behind, but that's okay. Here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 9:50.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on The Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So glad to be with you here on a Sunday. We are running a little bit behind, but that's okay. Next hour here on the show, we're going to recap everything you need to know about Hurricane Matthew. As the music picks up here. We picked up a little bit there. I'm sorry. Everything you need to know about Hurricane Matthew is going to be coming up here at the top of the hour as you're waking up here on a Sunday here on the Generic Live Show. Well, we are running a little bit behind, so we're going to quickly rip through this vice presidential debate that happened. That is the only debate that vice presidential candidates will get to have. It is Senator Tim Kaine and Governor Mike Pence sitting at a dining room table having dinner with the most awfulest person ever. Here is some noise, some highlights of that debate. Here is them on the topic of, by the way, I think it is Donald Trump's taxes. There's two videos. There's Trump's taxes and policing. They're very spicy, spicy moments from the debate.
Trump is a businessman, not a career politician. He actually built a business. Those tax returns that came out publicly this week showed that he faced some pretty tough times 20 years ago. But like virtually every other business, including the New York Times not too long ago, he used what's called net operating loss. We have a tax code, Senator, that actually is designed to encourage entrepreneurship.
But why won't he release his tax returns?
Well, we're answering the question about the business thing.
Donald Trump started this campaign in 2014. He said, if I run for president, I will absolutely release my taxes. He's broken his first promise. Second, he stood on the stage last week. And when Hillary said you haven't been paying taxes, he said, that makes me smart. So it's smart not to pay for our military. It's smart not to pay for veterans. It's smart not to pay for teachers. And I guess all of us who do pay for those things, I guess we're stupid. And the last thing I'll say,
Senator,
is this.
Senator, do you take the deductions that you're entitled to?
The last thing I want to ask Governor Pence is
I
this.
Do.
Governor Pence had to give Donald Trump his tax returns to show he was qualified to be vice president. Donald Trump must give the American public his tax returns to show that he's qualified to be president, and he's breaking his promise.
Spicy moment number one from the vice presidential debate. Here is the second spicy moment.
There's no
coming up on the debate is the controversy over stop and frisk.
Here's what I learned as a mayor and a governor. The way you make communities safer and the way you make police safer is through community policing. You build the bonds between the community and the police force, build bonds of understanding, and then when people feel comfortable in their communities, that gap between the police and the communities they serve narrows. And when that gap narrows, it's safer for the communities and it's safer for the police. That model still works across our country, but there are some other models that don't work. An overly aggressive, more militarized model. Donald Trump recently said we need to do more stop and frisk around the country. That would be a big mistake.
Police officers are the best of us. I mean, men and women, white, African American, Asian, Latino, Hispanic, they put their lives on the line every single day. And let me say, at the risk of agreeing with you, community policing is a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's worked in the Hoosier State, and we fully support that. Donald Trump and I are going to make sure that law enforcement have the resources and the tools to be able to really restore law and order to the cities and communities of this nation. It's probably why the 330,000 members of the Fraternal Order of Police endorsed Donald Trump as the next president of the United States of America, because they see his commitment to them. They see his commitment to law and order.
That is spicy moments from the vice presidential debate, otherwise known, otherwise I've lovingly called it two ice cream freezers throwing vanilla ice cream at each other, which that would actually be more entertaining if vanilla ice cream tubs decided to come out of the mirror and come out of it. I don't know why I'm so down on this election. I have no idea why I'm so down on this election. It's kind of, I feel like it's because I've been oversaturated with it as a consumer of news. I think that's what it is. I'm just getting fatigued now because I've been so overwhelmed and overly immersed in this presidential election that it's kind of just, it's just felt like it's just, it's time, okay? It's time to go. I listened to a morning talk conservative talk show, a conservative morning talk show, if I put the words in the right order, and they talk about the election all the time, and they talk about Trump, and it's interesting from their perspective, because they have someone who supports Trump and someone who doesn't support Trump, and they fight, of course, every day, but they're talking about the election because they're a political show, and I feel like it's kind of rock'em sock'em robots when it comes to this election cycle. I mean, I don't know whether I'll be happy, whether I'll be not happy if and when this election is finally over, but it has to end, right? It has to end. It'll end. And that is all I'm going to be talking about the presidential and vice presidential debates today. Thank Lord. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we'll give you all the information that you need in regards to Hurricane Matthew as it decides to unleash the hounds on the U.S. as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's 10 o'clock.